All right, the title of the message this morning is No Other Way But Christ. No other way. And we know that's so. There's no other way to salvation, no other way to God, no other way to glory, but Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead. All other ways are ways of death. Christ is the narrow way that leads to eternal life. All other ways are the broad roads that lead to destruction. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And this is illustrated in this historical account of a man named Uzziah, King Uzziah. And if you'll notice at the top of your lesson there, you've got not only 2 Chronicles 26, which is our main text, beginning at verse 16. I'll deal with the first 15 verses just in summary. But the lesson actually starts in verse 16. But also you see Isaiah. And it's a very familiar passage. I'm sure that most of you recognize that. Isaiah 6. And you remember how that starts out in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died. And we'll look at that in a minute. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up in the temple. He had a vision of the temple and the Lord's train, His robe filling the temple. And Isaiah, the Lord revealed some things to Isaiah. That was in Isaiah's youth. If you look at 2 Chronicles 26, verse 1, it says, Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. And verse 4, look at this. It says, Uzziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. He sought God in the days of Zechariah. Now that's Zechariah the prophet. We have a book. Zechariah. That's Zechariah the prophet. And he saw and had understanding. Zechariah was a prophet who had understanding in the visions of God. And when you talk about the visions of God, you're talking about the Word of God. That's what the prophets, you know, they had visions. It's not like those today who claim to have visions, which are false. But these were visions that had the authority of God's Word, and mainly concerning God's promise to send Christ into the world, the Messiah. And you can see that in the book of Zechariah. But Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That's Uzziah. As long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And so these first 15 verses of this chapter describe the reign of King Uzziah, where he began as a young man. Think about that, King 16. Well, we read about Josiah earlier, who began to reign when he was 8 years old, or later on. And Uzziah reigned for 52 years. And as I said, Zechariah was a prophet during those days. And then a younger man named Isaiah was a prophet. And it says, in Isaiah chapter 1, I'll just read this to you. Isaiah 1:1, it shows you all the kings that Isaiah prophesied. Isaiah was a prophet to the southern kingdom, Judah, and he mainly prophesied in Jerusalem. And Isaiah 1:1 says, The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, that's the one we're looking at now, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So Isaiah prophesied through the reign of four kings before his prophecy ended. And one of them was Uzziah. And this was around 750 years before Christ. It gives you an idea. About 150 to 200 years before the Babylonian captivity, which took place around 500 or 586 B.C. Gives you an idea about the history of it. But Uzziah was a successful king. He was a prosperous king. God blessed him. And it says here, as long as he sought the Lord. God made him to prosper. He was helped by God, the scripture said. And if you look at verse 15, 2 Chronicles verse 15, it says, he made in Jerusalem, he built up their armies, he built buildings, he brought in prosperity. And it says, and Uzziah made in Jerusalem engines, that's machines, whatever machines they had back then. Well, I don't know exactly what all they are. He invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, probably, and it says, to shoot arrows. That's war machines is what he's talking about. And great stones, wherewithal. And his name spread. It went forth far abroad, his fame. For he was marvelously helped. Now, who was his helper? God, you know. He was marvelously helped by God. The Lord is my helper. We read all the time in the Psalms from David and other Psalms. And of course, we see that in our lives. You know, Christ is our helper. And it's not like, as false religion says, God helps those who help themselves. That's false religion. That's not biblical. You do know that, don't you? You heard that. I think it came from John Wesley. But it's false religion. God helps those who help themselves. If that's the truth, we're all helpless. And we have no... But he is our helper. And he was Uzziah's helper. Now you have to understand that the position that Uzziah had as king was under the terms of the old covenant, which was a conditional covenant. So as long as Uzziah did that, sought the Lord and led the people in the old covenant, the kingdom prospered. Now, the four words here that are significant, look at verse 15. He was marvelously helped till he was strong. What do you mean? Look at verse 16. It says, but when he was strong, when he was at his height, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. That's the problem. And for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord. This is King Uzziah, a descendant of David, the tribe of Judah now, the one who was so prosperous, the one who led the people. And understand now, a king who did that which is right in the sight of the Lord, those who recognize that they were types of the King of Kings. And so Uzziah was to be aware of that, but he was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now, you know that altar of incense, that was in what they called the holy place. You remember in the tabernacle, and it was the same in the temple. You had the open court where the brazen altar was. That's where they sacrificed the lambs and the rams and the bullocks and all that. Then you had an inner chamber there. The first place you went into was called the holy place, where you had the table of showbread, you had the golden candlestick, the golden laver, and the altar of incense. And then they had the curtain, the veil, that went from the ceiling to the floor, and behind that veil was the Holy of Holies. Now, all the priests could attend the services of the holy place where all that furniture was, but only the high priest could go into the holiest of all where the mercy seat was, and with the blood. And he did that one day a year on the Day of Atonement for the people. But here's Uzziah. What was his sin? Well, his sin obviously was pride and self-righteousness and leaning upon his own strength. And I put in here at the last sentence of the first paragraph, he failed to realize that the reason for his success was God's power and God's help, not his own. He failed to continue to listen to the words of his ancestors, King David. And I've got Psalm 121. Well, there's several places where David cried out, the Lord is my help. You know, it's not me. It's not my strength. It's not my goodness. It's God. And boy, that's the way our salvation is. We're never to be lifted up in our pride and self-righteousness to think that any part of salvation at any stage, to any degree, in any way is conditioned on us. But it's all on Christ, who fulfilled all conditions by the price of his blood and his righteousness imputed to us, so that we stand firm and immovable and unchangeable in the sight of God. But it has nothing to do with our works. It really has nothing to do with our decision. We do works and we do make decisions, but that's not the conditions that we meet in order to attain or maintain our salvation. And that's what Uzziah was to realize about his prosperity in the kingdom as the king. This is the work of God. And I want to point people to God. I've been writing an article that's turned into a message about the glory of God. We want to glorify God. Well, you can't glorify God unless you tell the truth on God. Did you know that? Preachers today will tell you everywhere. They say, well, we're here to glorify God. And then they don't tell the truth on God. You can't glorify God and tell lies on God, misrepresent him. It's impossible. And when Uzziah did this as the king of Judah, he's misrepresenting God. That's what he's doing. And it's because of his own pride. And then I've got Proverbs 3 verses 5 through 6. You know what that says? Trust not to your own understanding. Trust the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. Well, that was Uzziah's sin. And his sin was the same as with all of us, especially when in our sinful nature, we think about eternal salvation and the blessings and the benefits of salvation. Because man naturally, when he thinks about those things, he or she thinks in some way, in some form, to some degree, that we can do something to earn those things. We can do something to empower those things. That's where that old adage comes. God helps those who help themselves. We can do something to put it in effect. It's like the false gospel of universalism that says that God's trying to save you. All right? Now think about it. If I say that, what am I doing? I'm telling a lie on God. There's nothing in this book that says God's trying to save everybody. And that if you'll do your part, Christ died for everybody, and if you'll do your part, then all of those blessings of salvation and goodness will kick into gear and be applied to you. Now, is that what the Bible says about God? And the answer is no. Well, we think that by nature, don't we? And that's what we're taught growing up. I'm going to talk about that in the message today. But when Uzziah was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. That's what it tells us here. Lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed the Lord. Now what did he do? You know, what he did here might seem so innocent. And people, what happened, you know, as he ignored, what he's doing here, he's ignoring and violating God's law, the law of the priesthood, the law of true worship. God said that only the priest of Levi were to go into that most holy place, that holy place, and burn incense and take care of the table. The king had no right to do that. I don't care how good of a king he was. He had no right to do that. That was the job of the priest. That's the terms of the old covenant. And Uzziah ignored it and violated it. And one writer wrote this, he also violated what had become a general principle in God's dealing with Israel, that no king should also be a priest. That the offices of prophet, priest, and king, that's the mediatorial offices, isn't it? Prophet, priest, and king, they were never combined into one person except Christ. Christ is our prophet, he's our priest, he's our king. But in the types of the Old Testament, you never had one person where all three of those offices were combined. Only Christ could fulfill all three. So So look at verse 17. It says, when Uzziah did this, Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they were bold, is what that means. They were true to the Lord. And they withstood Uzziah the king. You see, that's the thing about, this wouldn't have happened in any other culture back then. You think about the kings of heathen nations. They had advisors, but no one could go withstand the king to his face. And the king's word was always law, but not in Israel, not in Judah. The king was to follow. God was the ultimate king, is the ultimate king. And they're to follow his word. And their word, the king's word, was not law in Israel. God's word was law. And the king was to lead as the under-shepherd of God. But these priests, they had the authority to withstand the king to his face. To say, no, what you're doing is wrong and you're not to do it. And it says here, they said unto him, verse 18, that they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priest of the sons of Aaron. That's the only ones that God commanded that are consecrated to burn incense. The king wasn't consecrated. He wasn't set apart. He wasn't appointed by God to do this. He was forbidden to do it. And go out of the sanctuary. They say, get out of here. That's what they're saying. Get out of here. For thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. This is not honorable at all. This is pride. That's what they're saying. And so they said such an act could not honor him before God. And of course, what we see here is a type that no sinner can approach God except through the proper ways. And of course, that's through Christ. But look at verse 19. It says, then Uzziah was wroth. He was angry. He had a censer in his hand to burn incense. They took the coals off the altar and put them in a censer to do that. And while he was wroth, while he was angry with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. God struck him with leprosy. Right then and there. Look at verse 20. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. He got the message now. Yeah. And he hasted out. He got out as quick as he could. And it says, and Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. He dwelt in a house, probably means a separate house. They put him away is what happened. Being a leper, they had to go, had to get away, had to be isolated. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house judging the people. Judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write. Isaiah recorded this history. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, now here's his epitaph, he's a leper. They didn't talk about everything that he built and all those machines and all the prosperity. He's a leper. And Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. When I was reading this, and you think about how great of a man, how powerful of a man that Uzziah was. And this come to my mind as I was studying this. First of all, what was he doing? Well, it's like a sinner coming before God, seeking favor of God, seeking blessing from God, approaching God in our own merits, pleading our own works. look at what I've done, that kind of thing. And for any sinner to take it upon himself to approach God in that sinner's own merits is death. That's the lesson here. And I thought about what Peter said back over in Acts chapter 10. And let me just read it to you. This is when Peter was given a vision by God and told to go to a Gentile soldier named Cornelius. And of course, Peter had a hard time with the understanding in the gospel dispensation of time that there was no barriers or boundaries between Jew and Gentile. God has a people out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation, and God is no respecter of persons. God, whatever God does to a person, it has nothing to do with any merit or worthiness or power or goodness or decision in that person. It is totally a work of sovereign grace without any consideration of anything other than the glory of God, and it seems good in His sight. You might ask the question, why in this world, out of all the millions of people that we see, did God choose me? Does that ever blow your mind? It does mine. Why does he reveal himself to us? I was reading an article this morning by Pastor Gary Shepherd, our brother, and he was talking about how many millions of people are going to a service today, and they won't hear the gospel. Now, that's just fact, isn't it? And it's sad. Gary put it, it's sad. And I wrote a little comment. I said, it's very sad, but it's amazing that God was merciful to some of us, to me. And that may sound like to the world that I'm bragging, but I'm not. You say, well, why, you know, you're the chosen few. Well, the Bible speaks of the chosen few. Many are called, but few are chosen. I mean, what does the Bible say? And who are those chosen few? They are those whom God brings to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and repentance of dead works. But here Peter stood over there in Acts 10. Listen to this. He said, he says, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But listen to what Peter said here. He said, but in every nation, he that feareth him, feareth God. Now, what is it to fear God? It's to respect God. It's to honor God. He's not talking about a legal fear that stirs people up to establishing their own righteousness. He's talking about that fear that says, God, let God be true and let every man be a liar. That kind of fear. God is to be glorified and honored and worshiped. We're not here to brag on each other. We're not here to blow each other's egos out up. We're here to honor God. And he says, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Do you work righteousness? Do I work righteousness? Well, I know this. If he's talking about our works, I can't put myself in that category. How about you? Working righteousness is not, has a negative, not approaching God based on our works, which are far from the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in Christ. But the positive is this. Working righteousness is approaching God as a sinner seeking mercy and grace in the righteousness of Christ, freely imputed to us and received by God-given faith. Coming to God and saying, I have no righteousness of my own. I have no recommendation for myself. That's what Uzziah ignored. And for God, he disregarded God's commands. He ignored the priest. And he took upon himself to burn incense before the Lord. And Isaiah, turn over to Isaiah chapter 6. And I love this chapter. And I know you all, I preach from it. Some of you all preach from it. And I'm not going into about Isaiah personally here, I'm just going to show you what the vision is. God gave Isaiah a vision in the year that King Uzziah died. And he learned much from the death of King Uzziah. Now, was this when Isaiah was initially called to faith in Christ and repentance? Some say it was. Or was this just Isaiah's call to be a prophet where God gave him the specific message of the gospel? Either way, we're not given that information. I sort of lean to say that this was Isaiah's conversion. But we're not going to be dogmatic about that. But listen to what it says. Look at Isaiah 6. He says, in the year, verse 1, that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. The train there represents God's sovereignty, God's omniscience, God's omnipresence. God's revealing himself to Isaiah in the glory of his sovereignty and his holiness. This is the majesty of the King of Kings. That's what it is. Filled the temple. That whole temple. Think about that. What did it come in the form of smoke or whatever? I don't know. But the thing about it is, that whole temple was about the glory of the Lord in Christ. It wasn't about the king's glory. It wasn't about Uzziah or the priest, except the high priest, because he was the type of Christ. But here's what God says in that tabernacle, in that temple, from that holiest of all. The only way that any sinner can approach God, a holy and just and righteous God, and be accepted, be blessed, be received, be heard, is through the Lord Jesus Christ and based upon his blood and righteousness alone. That's why I entitled this lesson, No Other Way But Christ. That's what Uzziah forgot. He wanted to come his own way. And it says in verse 2, above it stood the seraphims. The seraphims, they represent messengers of God. With one, each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. That's reverence. With two, he covered his feet. That has to do, I believe, with just admitting our imperfections, that our walk is a sinful walk. And with two, he did fly. That's moving at the commission of God. These were messengers. And one, verse 3, and one cried unto another and said, holy, 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 the thrice holy God. Is this a verse that proves the existence of the Trinity? Probably. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And understand now, the word holy means separate. That's what it means. So what's God testifying of himself here? There's no other God like him. There's none to compare him with. His revelation of himself, he's the Lord of hosts. That's the Lord of a great army. And the idea behind that title for God is he cannot be defeated. Whatever, whatsoever he wills to do, it's done. He's invincible. And the whole earth is full of his glory. And that's true. Even though all people don't glorify him, the whole earth is still full of his glory, his majesty, even in creation, but especially in salvation, and mainly in the temple, which our temple, the church, and our tabernacle, which is Christ. And in verse 4 it says, the post of the door moved, and the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. There's the smoke. When God speaks, when God reveals himself, there's movement. Shaking of the earth. And of course, when God speaks to a sinner in the new birth, there's movement, isn't there? We come forth from the dead. Regeneration and conversion. We're turned from our own dead works to Christ and his righteousness alone. Read it in Philippians 3 and passages like that. And then here's Isaiah's response. Here's the movement. Look at verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. And that word undone means cut off. Cut off. I'm a man of unclean lips. And the lips, the unclean lips, reveals the state of the heart. Out of the heart proceedeth sin. When we speak in terms of a relationship with God before we're born again, it's unclean. And he says, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Somebody says, well, that might be how it applies to you, but it's not how it applies to me. No, this is, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one person in Israel who has a righteousness that answers the demands of God's law and justice based upon their works. And my friend, that's the same way with our world today. We're a people of unclean lips by nature. And we dwell amidst a people of unclean lips by nature. Well, how did you come to that conclusion, Isaiah? Look at it. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I've seen God. Now, this vision is wrapped up in the person and work of Christ. How did the Apostle Paul come to the conclusion that everything in his early life was dead works and dung that he could not depend on? What he was so proud of when he saw the truth of Christ crucified and risen from the dead. The glory of God in Christ, the righteousness of God in Christ. When God shows himself to us as a just God and a Savior, then we realize the reality. Verse 6 says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. Now that live coal comes off the altar, the brazen altar, and represents the death of a substitute. And that coal he took in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, thy sin is purged. Now, how was it taken away and purged? By the sacrifice of a lamb or a ram or a bullock on the brazen altar. Typifies Christ. How's our iniquity taken away? How are our sins purged? By the blood of the Lamb of God. Isn't that right? And he laid it on his mouth. Now, that still represents a change of heart. Because out of them, what the mouth speaks comes out of the heart. And so it's indicating a change of heart, and Uzziah, you know, as and the change of message too. And he said, the gospel of God's grace in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when King Uzziah tried to take over and usurp the authority of the priest and burn incense to God in the holy place, he ignored all of that. He ignored God's promise of forgiveness, of righteousness and eternal life by the promised Messiah who was to come. And so, what's the lesson? There's only one way to come to God and be accepted. And any other way, I don't care who you are, whether you're the king or whether you're the poorest man in the kingdom, whether you're a prosperous king, a successful king, there's only one way to come to Christ, and that is Christ, I mean, come to God, and that is through Christ, the only way to God. All right.